Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Man, thankful for this good crowd of people that stuck in here all day long. How many's tired? I'm tired. But I'll tell you what, wouldn't want to be any other place, brother. I tell you what, I'm so tired. I had a thought just a little bit ago. I'd like to go home and call on the God Jehovah El Shaddai for a little while. But I'm telling you what, I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord. You know what? I want to tell you, Parsons family, I appreciate you so much. Really do. Thankful for the anointing that your family carries. And you're real people. Gotten to be my friends, and I appreciate the friendship. I'd like to say to every other minister that's been here and shared the gospel this week, I appreciate all of you. And I appreciate this church for putting this on. Appreciate it, Brother Ronnie. It's an awesome, awesome event. Look forward to it each and every year. And I'm just so thankful for it. Thankful for the presence of God in this place. Amen? Never want to do anything without the presence of God. Turn with me tonight, if you would, to the book of Mark. Chapter number 11. We'll begin reading the 15th verse. Mark chapter number 11. And we'll begin reading the 15th verse. The Lord gave me this message a while back. And I thought that it's amazing how that at these camp meetings, sometimes God just helps one message flow into the next message and into the next message. And I don't believe that's coincidence. Do you? I think that the Holy Spirit divinely orchestrates those things. And we heard a message this afternoon from Brother Craig about the chains. And Brother Mike about being yoked. And then tonight I want to preach a message to you on how to say enough is enough to those chains and to those yokes in our life. Would you look into the Word of God with me? Chapter number 11 and verse 15 of Mark's Gospel. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables and the money of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught them, saying unto all them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. God, I thank you for this place. I thank you for your anointing. God, I thank you for this camp meeting, Lord. And God, as we sit here tonight in your presence, Lord, I pray that you would send a great anointing down and let it rest upon me, God. God, for without your anointing, God, I never want to stand and preach without it because it'll just be words that can't do anything for anyone. God, I know that if you come and energize me with your Spirit, God, great and mighty things can be done. God, I thank you for the call of God on my life and upon all of these men that sit around me tonight that are preachers of the gospel. I thank you for the Parsons family, God, and how they sang the glory down in this place. God, I ask that we would never take it for granted how your Spirit comes and meets with us and how we feel the warmth of your sweet presence when it comes in here and rests upon us, Lord. And we ask one more time, God, that you would meet with us in a great and a mighty way. God, we welcome you into this place right now, Lord. And if there's one here, God, that does not know you in the free pardon of sin, I ask that you would save their soul. But God, if there is a Christian here today that has been bound by something and they can't get past their past, God, I hope today, God, that you will be able to speak through me, God, and that they will be able to see that they can say to the enemy, enough is enough. God, I pray right now that you would guide the rest of this service. God, give me the words to preach, for I'm nothing without you. I ask all of these things in Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen. As we read in the text here, what did we see? We saw Jesus coming into the temple and he saw them that bought and sold in the temple. And he had righteous indignation rise up in him. He went and he turned the tables, if you will. He cast out the money changers. And in essence, what was he saying? He was saying, enough is enough. And who is our greatest example on what we are supposed to be? God. We're called Christians, right? And we know that to be a Christian simply means to be Christ-like. So Christ showed us by example right here that we can say to the enemy and we can say to the world, enough is enough. We're not going to take everything that you bring our way. We're going to say, enough is enough. You can't hold us down any longer. You can't oppress us any longer because we've been made more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to tell you just a few areas that we need to learn to say enough is enough as Christians. Firstly, I want you to know this. We need to learn to say enough is enough in our churches. Can somebody shout a big amen? You say, well, what do you mean? Well, let me just tell you this. I've got a couple of things pinned down here. I think that we need to stop changing for the world and just start changing the world. Can you shout a big amen right there? I am so sick and tired of going into places and hearing how that they are trying to change the house of God to be more like the world when it's supposed to be exactly the opposite. We are supposed to be changing the world, not changing our church houses to be more like the world. I believe if God Himself walked into some of the churches today, it would sicken Him. We think that we've got to change our names. We think that we've got to have something that looks like the world to appeal to the world. I'm telling you this. You preach the truth of God's Word and you be anointed by Jesus Christ and it will draw the sinner to salvation. I think we need to say enough is enough with all the hogwash that's going on in the house of God. Y'all know what hogwash is here in Missouri? There's a lot of hogwash going on in the house of God today. We have people that are changing the names of their churches to one word name. Now listen, I'm not going to try and nitpick, but I think that we're trying to follow a template that some man has come up with. And they're trying to go out and they're trying to create something that is more appealing to a sinner. Where a sinner can walk in and leave a sinner, but they can pay their tithes. Let me tell you something. It's not about gaining a crowd. It's about building the kingdom. Talked to a man the other day, a good friend of mine. The man's changing some things. I said, brother, I hadn't talked to him for a long time. I said, hey, how's things been going? How's your church? He said, man, we're doing really good. What he said next, it just shocked me. He said, we're doing really good. We've almost completed our new coffee shop. And I thought, you may say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, listen, if you want to have a coffee shop in the fellowship hall, go ahead. But when somebody asks a pastor of a church how the church is doing, and his response is, we're doing good, we just finished our new coffee shop. Man, our priorities are out of whack. Our priorities are out of whack. That same man, a few years ago, I could call him, he'd say, man, we're doing good. We just had 4 or 5 saved in the last couple of weeks. But slowly but surely, the enemy creeps in and he starts to steal away the realness of what God intended the church to be. You sing a song, what's wrong with the old-fashioned way? Let me tell you something. There's not anything wrong with the old-fashioned way. As a matter of fact, there's everything right with it. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And let me tell you this. I don't think it really is the old-fashioned way. I just think it's the right way. Amen? You say, well, you're a little old-fashioned. I'm just 29 years old. I'm still in my 20s for another few months. Amen? I'll tell you what, it was ingrained in me as a little boy. The truths that lie in this Word of God. And I promise you this with my hand towards heaven. I will not change. No matter what our government does. No matter what society says. No matter if they walk out the door and they never come back. I will not change. I will stay with what this Word of God says. And I'll not change it for anyone. It's time that we say enough is enough to all of this garbage that's going on in the house of God. We need to stop preaching to gain a crowd and start preaching to build the kingdom once again. Oh my God, it's going to be tough for me to get past this point right here. Because here's the sad fact of the matter. We have a lot of men of God nowadays. Brother Mike mentioned one of them when he was preaching this afternoon. You know, I want to be careful saying men of God, because a lot of them, Lord, help my motive to be right here. A lot of men that stand behind a pulpit or stand behind a desk or nowadays a little coffee table with a stool behind it and an iPad and flip-flops and shorts and a t-shirt. They stand up in what they call a church, a place that they've removed the cross, a place that they no longer talk about the blood, a place that they no longer mention sin. Let me tell you, that place, when they took away the cross, when they stopped mentioning sin, when they stopped preaching on the blood, it ceased to be the house of God. It's nothing but a building. A social club, if you will. A place where people can come together and leave, go in there feeling good and leave feeling great, because the man of God won't challenge sin anymore. I'm telling you, you better beware of a man that doesn't preach on sin. You better beware of a man that only preaches the grace of God and doesn't preach the righteousness of God. You better beware of a man that will not tell you about God's judgment. Beware of a man that makes you feel good all the time. I've had some people say to me, "Buddy, you preach it a little too straight." Well, let me tell you something. I take that as a compliment. Because when Christ Jesus said, "If your eye offend thee, it'd be better for you to pluck it out of your head and to go into heaven maimed than go into hell with all of your members." What was he saying? Don't take a chance on going to a place called hell. Listen, God stirred in my heart lately that it's time that the men of God get back to preaching about God's judgment, preaching about what's coming on that day. Preaching that there is a heaven to gain, yes, but there also is a hell to shun. And I'm telling you this, I don't want to stand before God someday, Brother Doyle. I don't want to stand before God and Him say, "Son, you should have preached it straighter. You should have preached it harder." Because listen, I believe every opportunity that He gives me, there could be somebody sitting out there under the sound of my voice that's making a decision between heaven and hell. And if I don't do what God tells me to do and they die and go to a devil's hell, then their blood will be on my hands. And I don't want that sword laid at my door. So every time God impresses me to go to somebody or to preach judgment or to tell people that there is a hell that has a literal fire that never shall be quenched, I'm going to tell it. And there ain't nobody that will stop me from saying that. I want you to know right now, we need to say enough is enough in our churches. Guys, listen, we need to stand up and let our voices be heard. Someone said that earlier. But it's time as a church, as the people of God, that we stand up and let our voice be heard. That we stop taking everything that comes down the pipe and stand up and do something about it. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that in this last election, I believe God gave us one more chance. Just a little more time. Let me tell you something. You can like Donald Trump or you can lump him out. I don't care. But I know this. We're a whole lot better off than we would have been with the alternative. You better shout a bigger amen than that right there. Let me tell you something. I believe that God is a gracious God. And He loves the people of the United States of America. And He gave us one more chance. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with the chance that He gave us? It's time for the people of God to stand up and be counted for the cause of Christ. Listen, we'll get in this church house, we'll sit in there and we'll have a cup of coffee and we'll argue tooth and toenail back and forth. But you get outside these walls, we lose a lot of our boldness. Because we're not in our comfort zone anymore. We're surrounded by a lost and a dying world, and we don't want to ruffle anyone's feathers. Let me tell you something. We need some men of God and some women of God that's got backbone once again. That will stand up and proclaim, "What saith this word of God?" In the face of adversity, stand up and say, "This is the truth. This is what I go by. Nothing else matters but what saith the word of God." I want to tell you this. When they murder little babies and they call it a choice. When they legalize gay marriage and say it's their right. When God calls it an abomination, we need to say enough is enough, not only in the church, but number two, we need to say enough is enough as a nation. Can somebody say amen? Parsons family, stand up right now. Quote this, 2 Chronicles 7:14. That is the remedy right there. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Listen, it doesn't stop right there. But then seek His face, and then we've got to turn from our wicked ways. And then and only then will He hear from heaven and forgive our sins and then heal this land. You say you think there's hope for America? The only hope for America is the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else will fix this place but the blood of Christ Jesus. It's time that we stand up as a nation and say enough is enough. We're not going to take everything you bring down the pike. We're going to stand up and stand on the truths of God's Word and take what God says and stand on that authoritative Word and proclaim it to a lost and dying world. Listen, we also need to say, number three, enough is enough. Or number four, enough is enough in our own individual lives. This is what we heard about all day long. Brother Craig, he preached about being held by the chains. Brother Mike, he preached about the yoke. Where you stick your neck out where it don't belong. And then you're caught up in the yoke of sin. And held in the bondage. But I tell you this. We have the ability and we have the authority to say enough is enough in our own individual lives. Bless the name of the Lord forever. You say, you mean I don't have to deal with this depression all the days of my life? No, you don't. You say, I don't have to deal with this anxiety all the days of my life? Some of you feel that way. Some of you right now, sitting under the sound of my voice, you think this. You think, well, I've just dealt with it for so long. And I've prayed. And I've prayed and I've prayed. And I'm still dealing with this. Why wouldn't God take this away from me? Now, let me tell you something. Let me just give you something that God gave me here the other day. I've been going through something in my own life. I've been facing an obstacle. Wondering which direction God would want us to go in our ministry. What He would want us to do. Some of you know this. Just a few months ago, after being at our church for 5 years, God just spoke into my spirit that I had to go. I said, God, I don't want to go. I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. I love this place. It's my family's place. We've been there. My grandfather pastored there for 21 years. Started the church from nothing. My uncle came in after he'd pastored there for 21 years, and my uncle's been there now for 40 years. And the plan was for me to step in and be the pastor. God, I want to be there. I've been the associate pastor there for 5 years. And then one day God says, son, you got to go. And I thought, God, are you sure? Are you sure, God? How many know what Brother Craig said? We've got our own plans worked out, and God, we say, God, get on board with what I want to do. And that's a sad fact of the matter. That's what we do a lot of times. I said, God, please, don't make me go. But the next time I went to service there, I felt like a fish out of water. I tried it a couple more weeks. Didn't feel at home. So I did what I had to do. I told the church I had to leave. It was like a funeral service. Golly. I didn't want to go. And I thought, okay, God, well, I'll go. Maybe you just want me to step away for a short time. I'll step away and I'll go till the first of the year, and then we'll kind of reassess things and see if we need to go back. Let me tell you something. God has a way of pulling your safety net out from underneath you. Some things have transpired there, and it looks like that God's going to keep us there for keep us away from there for an extended period of time. I'm not saying we won't ever be back there, but I'm saying I don't think we'll be back in the very near future. And when that took place, when something happened there, people started calling me on the phone. Now you listen to me right here. They started calling me on the phone and said, "We thought that you'd be back here to be our pastor. We thought that you'd be back here to the church in just a few months. That's just what we expected, you know." And they started saying things. And how many know that the devil can use other people's demons? And if you'll let them, they'll become your demons. They started calling me. I started having that vain imagination raise up in me. I'm trying to be transparent with you here. You say, "Preacher, you're telling an awful lot." I'm just telling you the truth. I dealt with that. And for a while it got on me, Brother Ronnie. Started taking my joy away. Started taking my peace away. And I thought, "God, I wish I could get a hold of somebody and change this situation." And I was riding in the car with a fella from the church. He was helping me out. I was going to do a car deal a couple of hours away, and he was going to drive a vehicle back if I purchased it. He started saying a few things to me and started eating on me. When I dropped him off back in Wichita at his house, I said, "Lord, I don't want to deal with this anymore." I said, "God, I'm not going to deal with this anymore." I said, "I'm tired of it stealing my joy. I've got bigger fish to fry. I've got to go out and preach to a lost and dying world. I can't have this on me." And I promise you this. It was like the Lord said, "What are you telling me for?" And I thought, "What?" He said, "Why don't you tell the one that's causing all of this in your life?" He said, "Why don't you tell the enemy, the one that's bringing all of this on you in the first place? Because I tell you, in the name of Jesus, there is power in the spoken word." Remember when Jesus went out into the wilderness and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights? And the tempter came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread?" And what did he do? He said, "Man can not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then he said this. Let me just give this to you real quick. Then he said, "The devil taketh him up into an holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." And then Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Now let me stop right here. The first two times that he tempted Christ, Christ came back to him with Scripture. And he didn't return a word. He just tried to look for another route to get to him. That's good right there. Y'all nod at me or something right there if you got that. He didn't return a word. Couldn't say anything back. He just tried to find another route. But I want you to get this right here. After verse 9, the third time he tempted him, "Then Jesus saith unto him," for the first time he turned to him and said, "Get thee hence from me, Satan." Now listen, this was different than the first two times. The third time he turned to him and said, "Get thee hence from me, Satan." Now listen what happened. "Then Jesus saith unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him." Now let me just give that to you one more time in case some of you had your hearing aids off and you need to turn them up to hear this right here. "Then the devil leaveth him." when he spoke directly to him and he said, "Get thee hence from me, Satan," the devil had no other option but to turn tail and run away, because there's power in the spoken word of God. I tell you this. The Lord brought this to my mind when I was going through that the other day. And here's what I want you to get right here. So I started speaking to the enemy. I said, "Devil, you can't have my joy anymore. Devil, you can't have my peace anymore. You can't have my family." And so I went home. I started feeling that lift off of me, and I thought, boy, that's good. I went home and I started writing everything down that I wanted to say to the devil. I wrote a letter to the devil, and I want to tell you this. Every time that started to come back to me, I started reading that out loud. And I know this because I've experienced this, that when I speak that word about everything the enemy cannot have of mine, he has to leave me alone. And the joy of the Lord comes back in and takes up residence in my soul. I'm going to share with you what I wrote to the devil. You want to hear it? Well, I'm going to read it to you whether you do or you don't. I wrote this to the devil. I said, "Devil, today you cannot have my joy. Devil, today you cannot have my peace. Today you cannot have my thoughts. You can't have my wife. You can't have my children. And therefore, devil, you cannot have my home. Today I choose to allow God to be big in my life. Bigger than you are. I choose to allow His presence to rain down on me. I choose to allow His peace to be present in my life. I choose to allow His provisions to provide my needs. Ah, bless His holy name. I choose to pursue His purpose with everything that I have in me. Today I make the decision to not allow other people's demons to become my own." That's good right there. "Hey, I choose to combat negativity with positivity. I choose to not sow discord with the things that I say and the things that I do. I choose to focus on the things that I can change and get this, and give to God the things that I cannot." That's what we need to do right there. Listen, I choose to seek God's direction before I make any decision, big or small. I choose to go after the last thing that God spoke to me to do. I choose to cherish the gifts and the blessings that God has given to me. I choose to love my wife the way that Christ loves the church. I choose to cherish my children and train them up the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. I choose to be thankful for the home that my God has blessed me with. I choose to be thankful for the transportation God has allowed us to have. I choose to be a good steward of the financial blessings that God has given to me. So to sum it up, devil, I choose to be happy. I choose to be full of joy. I choose to be seeking the face of God. And I choose to be actively walking in His will for mine and my family's life. So today, devil, I choose to defeat you in the name of Jesus. My family is covered by the blood, and you cannot and will not cross the bloodline. Bless His holy name. Oh, my God. And when I read that to him, you know what he had to do? He had to leave. Ah, bless the Lord. I'm thankful. And when I said enough is enough, and I said it with the authority of God's word, he had to leave. Oh, I'm thankful we've got that authority. Guys, listen. I want to tell you this. We are bigger in Christ Jesus than we look like a lot of times. We are bigger in Christ Jesus. It says in His Word that He made us not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. So, if you've ever dealt with anxiety or depression, you can tell the devil, enough is enough tonight. If you've ever dealt with fear, if you've ever dealt with heartache, you can tell the devil, enough is enough tonight. And when you say that with the authority of God's word, he has no choice but to leave you. He has no choice. He has no choice. Did you hear me? I said he has no choice. We need to say enough is enough in our own individual lives. We need to say enough is enough for our homes, Brother Kenny. Because we were taught by Jesus how to say it. Enough is enough. Let me give you this in closing. Jesus said enough is enough in the temple. I'm thankful that one day He said enough is enough on the cross of Christ Jesus. Ooh, Lord Jesus. On that cross, when He hung between heaven and earth, and the enemy thought that he had won. When He said, "It is finished," He was also saying this, "Enough is enough." But I promise you this, someday soon He's going to say it again. Enough is enough. How do I know that? Because He told me in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also." That is a promise straight from the mouth of God. Someday soon He's going to say, "World, enough is enough. Devil, enough is enough." He's going to say it to the devil. I'm going to turn right over here and just give this to you. I didn't know if I was going to, but I'm going to. Revelation chapter number 20. You don't have to turn there with me, but I want to tell you what He's going to do to the devil someday. He's going to say, "Enough is enough." He's going to say, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more." I'm telling you, the day is coming when He's going to throw him into the bottomless pit and look down and say, "Enough is enough." He's already won. The devil's already had his head cut off. But let me tell you this. In India, there was a huge python that had got into a house. And they went in there. They cut that python's head off. But while he was dying, the nerves were still working. And it caused so much damage to the inside of that house. After it was already dead, I'll tell you, that is exactly the way it is with the enemy today. He's already had his head cut off on the cross of Calvary. Can somebody say amen? But right now, he's trying to thrash around and cause as much damage as he possibly can while he's dying. But it's over for him someday soon. Enough is enough, devil. So tonight, I want to ask you this. All over this place, how many of you have ever had the enemy come in, battle with you? Raise your hand. Everybody in this place. I know here lately, he's tried to jump on my back, tell me things that weren't true. I'm thankful. I'm thankful I had a sword. I had a sword that wasn't some diluted down other version. It's got the blood in it. It's got the cross in it. Ain't had nothing taken away from it. That old King James version of the Word of God. There's power in it. And when I spoke this word to the enemy, and when I turned to him and said, "Enough is enough," he had to leave. Brother Kenny, would you come and play softly?